Seated on the throne, the train of his robe fills the temple. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, and say among the nations, oh God reigns, oh God reigns, forever your kingdom reigns, oh God reigns, da-da-da.
Hallelujah. He reigns. He reigns. God, I thank you for this day. Thank you that we get a chance to come here again today and to just celebrate who you are, all the great things you have done for us, Lord. We are so thankful. We are grateful for all of it, Lord. And today, I thank you that even though Sukkot is not officially over, it's the sixth day and the day when we will choose to come together and worship you in this day, but knowing that tomorrow we continue. Tomorrow we continue on our own with you, Lord, giving thanksgiving and praise and acknowledging you for who you are. And we look forward to Hoshana Rabbah, which is the day when you pronounce a final judgment and verdict upon our entire year. It's the day when you give your final verdict as the blessings roll out to us over the year, Lord. And we will not forget that it was actually done now as a culmination of what we have been doing this week and how we have been serving you in this time. And Lord, I just bless you with my whole heart, my entire being. We come before you with praise to give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here
Amen.
is what I am going to do today. I've decided I needed to do this. And what that is I am actually going to give you a little mini teaching, which you need, believe it or not. And this little mini teaching is going to be massively helpful to you in understanding what God is doing. Okay? So let's do this. You might be saying, like, why are we doing this? Aren't we Christians? Why do we have to do this kind of stuff? What is the relevance of this? And I'm going to share it with you and just quickly give you a little rundown as to how I started doing this, why I started doing this. No, I'm not trying to be Jewish or anything like that. I basically just went through a process of asking myself certain questions, which is why it's so important for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ on your own and come to the decisions on your own without obligation from anyone, or my pastor told me this, or my friend told me this. It's you with Christ discovering what God is saying. So it started with recognizing that we were not using the calendar that they're using in it in Israel, which is the Hebraic calendar given by God, that we had moved over to a Gregorian calendar. And I was like, why did we do that? But we did. We moved away from it. And the church doesn't really talk about it, but I decided to start looking into the calendar and what it meant, and started then paying attention to the fact that there's something called first fruits. And then I'm like, okay, and are we doing that in Christianity? Not so sure. Then, as I started to delve more into it, I started to find out about the biblical feasts. Well, as I was looking into the biblical feasts, I realized, wait a second here. Jesus never really canceled these. We say that Christ is a fulfillment of the law. He came to do away with the law and all the laws that we have to follow in the Ten Commandments. That doesn't mean that you still get to run around and kill people and do these things now, does it? No. It just means that we don't feel the pressure and the strain of being 100% perfect. We rely on the finished work of the cross. It doesn't mean that we never repent. We still have to repent. We're just not walking around in judgment and condemnation, for there's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Do you understand? But there's still some things that you still have to do. Not out of this burden or ritualistic thing, But understanding that by observing certain things, there is a blessing that comes with it. You start to line up with how God is doing God's thing, and you'll see some different things going on in your life. So I went back and I started to look at the feast. So you might want to take notes if you have something to take notes so you can go back and start reading this for yourself. And what I'm going to do is quickly explain the feast to you, quickly explain what's done, and then you can take it from there. I believe I will put a post up on the website at some point explaining all the feasts, what it's done, and how it looks for Christians today. Because what I want to say to you is that as Christians, we're actually doing most of these things. We just call it something else. We are doing it, but we might choose to do it in a different time frame than on the Hebraic calendar. We're doing it, but we are not using intentionality, is the word I want to use, with how we do it. And I'm going to tell you that when you start moving in intentionality, when you do things, you'll see a difference in your life, right? Because the Hebraic calendar runs on top of the Gregorian calendar, and you could just go on living your life the way you're living it. But if you line up with the Hebraic calendar and do things at a certain time, you're going to realize that things work better for you. So the feast, Leviticus chapter 23. I'm not going to read the entire thing. I'm just going to quickly skip through it. I need you to read it for yourself. Leviticus chapter 23. Let's start with the top. It says, the Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, this is God, the Father, speaking to Moses. The appointed times, established feasts, of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as a holy convocation. My appointed times are these. So God is saying, I have an appointed time on the calendar when I need you to do these things. That in itself should tell you everything you need to know. God said it. The Father said it. I need you to observe these things at these times. That's my stuff. This is not Moses making it up. So let's go through them. And as I'm going to go through them, I'm going to tell you what the Christian, the Christian equivalent is of this, so that you'll realize that you're actually already doing this. You just might be doing it in a different way. And what I'm saying is take what you're already doing, since you're already doing it, and line it up with God's calendar. It's real simple. You're going to realize that you're really not doing that much more. It's the same thing. Just kind of switch it up and line it up with the calendar and be intentional about it. Okay. So the first feast is just observing the Sabbath. 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. Notice what it says. 6 days you work, 7 days you rest. You do not have to be like, oh, but I'm not off on a Sunday. I'm off on a Tuesday. It doesn't say that the seventh day is a Sunday, does it now? No. No, it does not. So whatever the seventh day is for you, that's the day you rest. And then it tells you why. Come together. Spend time with the Lord so you can rest. That's it. Next one, the Passover and the unleavened bread. This we know as Easter. You're already doing that, aren't you? Yeah. So now line that up with Passover. Next one, Feast of the First Fruits. Do you notice that I send out these first fruit emails? I send those out so that you know when the month starts. If you just look at the date, you'll know when the month starts. So what do you do on the first fruits? Well, you give a first fruit offering. Well, guess what? You're already doing that. It's called tithing. Are you not? Yes. You're already doing it. That's what I'm trying to say. It's these are not hard. It's just now when you give. If you could just line up that giving with the calendar and say, this is for Tishri. Tishri started on this month. You're intentional. So it's like you're setting up in your mind and you're saying to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'm giving this for the month of Tishri. You were going to give it anyway. You're just now having an intention behind what you're doing. Next one, Feast of Weeks. Feast of Weeks is what we call Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell, right? Next one is Feast of Trumpets. We just went through Feast of Trumpets. This one is actually Rosh Hashanah. This is the Hebraic New Year. So this would be one that we don't really have on our calendar that we're following, but you need to take note of that. The next one is the Day of Atonement, otherwise known as Yom Kippur. And all they do is have a day of repentance, a 25-hour fast, and you repent. Next one, Feast of Booths. That's what we're doing right now. This is called Sukkot. It's the same thing. And that's it. So I'm going to put this on the website with the calendar and show it to you. If you could just keep these things in mind when these things are and be intentional, and then I'm going to break out all the things you have to do. Now, you'll notice there are offerings, okay? So let's take now Sukkot. It says, verse 37 and 38, this is Leviticus 23. It says, these are the appointed times, established feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, to present an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, sacrifices and drink offerings, and an additional to your gifts and all your vowed offerings and all your free will offerings. Now, let me quickly explain these to you, because I'm sure in your mind you're thinking, how in the world am I going to figure this out? What does this actually mean? And I'm going to tell you again, it's not hard once you figure out this is what this is. Okay. Burnt offerings. They would set up an altar, put the lamb on the altar and burnt it. And then they would like put their sin on the animal and offer it up to God. We don't need to do that because the lamb that was slain for our sin is Jesus Christ, right? So that is already done. So the act then of offering up your sin to God becomes repentance. So whenever you're reading the Bible and you see burnt offering, all you need to think is, I need to repent. So he's saying, when you come to do Sukkot or the Feast of Booths, you need to repent daily. Tells us you need to be doing this daily. So next year we do this, when I delve into this really fully, you got to repent before you come on here. Okay, we're going to start with that. Second one, grain offering. What is a grain offering? A grain offering is thanksgiving and gratitude to God. That means what we did this whole week of sharing answered prayer testimony, that's the grain offering. So you're going to repent. You're going to offer thanksgiving and praise to God with your testimonies. Next one, drink offering. Well, we see that Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 7, even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. That means a drink offering is you, your physical body in serving God. Well, what does that look like? Are you serving at your local church? Are you an usher? Are you on the prayer team? Are you on the hospitality team? Are you serving in a ministry? That's a drink offering. So what you're going to realize from all of this is you're already doing it. You're already doing it. It's just setting an intention during Sukkot. You get up every day. Okay, so it would look like this. You repent of your sins. You give praise to God for answer prayer testimony. Okay, and then you say, Lord, is there anything specific that you would like me to do for you? That's your drink offering, because that's you now taking your physical body and your physical time and offering it to God for his service. And so if he says, yes, I actually want you to go over to this place and give of your time over there. They need you. Or this little old woman down the road that you pass her every single day, I need you to go over there, ask her what she wants and help her. It literally is that simple. And you're already doing it. It's just being intentional during this season to do it. And then the last thing it says, free will offerings. What is that? That's an additional donation. This is now money. You notice it says free will offering? That means you have to determine what it is. No one is going to tell you what that is. And you should never do it out of obligation. That's why it's called free will. So, set an intention. I wanted to point this out to you. Chick-fil-A is a fast food place that is highly successful. They're not open on a Sunday. We all know that, okay? And even though they're not open on a Sunday and they have a small amount of stores, they actually make more money per location than the largest fast food, which is McDonald's. And it says, we believe in delivering great fast food every day, except Sunday. They could just say, we don't open on a Sunday. But they didn't leave it there. They set an intention behind it. So here's what the founder says. Speaking of Sundays, our founder, S. Truett Cathy, made the decision to close on Sundays in 1946. He knew what it was like to work 7 days a week in restaurants. So he saw the importance of letting his employees set aside one day to rest and worship if they choose. That's a practice we still uphold today. What do you call that? Being intentional. He could have just said we close on Sunday, but he didn't. He says, I'm going to tell you why. Okay, we show up here today. We're here to worship. We're here to give praise and honor and glory to God. That's why we're doing it. Why? Because it's Sukkot. We are intentionally doing it. You get what I'm saying? Everything I just said to you, I'm pretty sure all of you are doing these things. So it's just for you to take what you're doing and say, okay, God, I'm going to intentionally do it at this time of years in alignment with your feast that you told us to do to honor you. Intentionality. Okay, God, it's first fruit and I'm going to give this. You're calling it a tithe now. But today when I give this to the church, I'm intentionally giving this as a first fruit offering for the month of Tishri. And what does it mean in Tishri? It means all this. So now I'm going to pray these things for myself. That's why I put the first fruit blessing prayer there for you, so that you understand what you're doing. It's an intentional thing. You just do it with intention. Now, today is actually the sixth day of Sukkot. It ends tomorrow. Now you're saying, why aren't we doing a celebration tomorrow? Because it ends tomorrow at sundown in Israel, which becomes 11 a.m. my time. So by the time we meet in the evening, it's over. That means I'm giving you the time and the space tomorrow to be intentional with God. Say, okay, Lord, it's just me and you today. Let me first repent as a burnt offering. Let me give you a grain offering, which is my praise report and my thank you for all you've done. And now, what would you like me to do for you as a drink offering? Because what happens on this seventh day is crucial. It's called Hoshana Rabbah. God takes everything that you've done up until this point, what you've done, what you've presented to him, what you repented for, that he's wiped away, never to remember it anymore. And he pronounces a judgment. Imagine it as a courts of heaven situation where he goes, okay, I've decided for the next year, until next year, this same time, that I'm going to protect you from the spirit of mammon and the economic hardship that is coming against this world. I'm going to protect you from the red horse of war, whatever it may be. Bring it up. Lord, here's what I'm asking you for. But you don't have a right to be asking for anything when you haven't repented. What did you do? Did you bring him praise? I'm going to tell you this, and this might come as a huge revelation for you. If you cannot remember your answered prayer testimony, you're under a demonic attack. Hear me. If you don't remember anything to praise God for specifically, I'm not talking about this, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Imagine God saying, for what? Give me a specific thing that you're saying thanks for. What are you praising me for? Specific. If you cannot remember a specific praise report and you have been saved for years, you're under a demonic attack. What is that? That is the devil disarming you, whether you realize it or not. You have a familiar spirit that is stealing all of your testimonies. It's not that your testimony isn't happening. He's taking it so you don't remember it. Why? Revelation. Chapter 12, I want to say. Verse 11. Where are we at? Yes. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. What does it say? And we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Blood of the Lamb, word of the testimony. But you don't have a testimony. You're being disarmed. That's why it's a demonic attack. There's no way you can tell me that you have been saved for how many years. You can't come up with seven different testimony every year. You can. The problem is you're not writing them down. Yesterday, if you were logged in or tuned in, Tracy gave a testimony. She just got fresh out of the oven because she got the prophetic word. She activated the prophetic word and she got an answer to a prayer. Now, what do you do in that situation? All you got to do, open your phone or whatever. You got a device. It's glued to you 24/7. Open it. Oh, where are we at? October 12th or 11th. MOP, prophetic word, destiny moves. My son got registered for da-da-da. Stop. You don't even have to write the whole testimony. You're making a note of it. Because you can literally go back, read the prophetic word at a later date, and remember, oh yes, this is what happened. But you never wrote it down. And so now you don't remember nothing. You don't remember anything. And so here comes a full year later, and I'm like, come with your answered prayer testimony. And you think you have nothing. You have plenty, but you're being robbed. Are you hearing me? You're being disarmed because it's your weapon. That's how you overcome the enemy. So that when he comes at you again, you're like, mm-mm, that's not going to happen. Remember when God did this? Where's my notes? Pull open those notes. Start to list them. This ain't going to happen. Remember when God did this? Remember when God did that? Remember when God... And you just clobber the devil with your testimony. You cannot afford to let him disarm you. Do not let him disarm you. What we do is we have in our head these things. Oh, I want a house. I want a baby. I want to get married. I need a job that's paying me this. And for some reason, you think that if God doesn't answer those specific things, he hasn't done anything for you. The devil is a liar. It's a lie. You don't remember them because you never wrote them down when they happened. You're being disarmed. Do you see that? Okay. So I'm telling you, every time something happens, you need to just make a little note. Boom. Next year when we do this, and I say, I need you here to share a testimony, I don't want to hear testimony from this year. I'm going to call you out. I need new. Bring me a fresh testimony. Because you can't tell me that you had one whole year and God didn't do seven things for you in the whole year. Oh, no. You're being disarmed. And the more you give away your testimonies, when the enemy comes, you're going to feel, oh no, I'm being overcome. You are not. It's you. You have to see what I just said to you. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So if you gave up your testimony, your battle axe is being disarmed. You don't have anything to war with. You get what I'm saying? Okay. Now, that's why I said to you, take a little note as they happen. This just happened. I don't care how small it is. Pull up that phone. You got it with you all the time. Let me make some notes. This happened. Next week or later on that day, oh, this happened. It could be the tiniest thing. Oh, this happened. And wait until you see how much you have. In the Old Testament, if you read, every time the Lord showed up to do something for them, you know what he said? Build an altar. Why? So they wouldn't forget. Build me an altar. So they wouldn't forget. They would remember the specifics that just happened and they wouldn't forget. Am I telling you to go and build an altar? No, because I can prove to you right now that you have altars. You want me to tell you? I'm going to tell you. If I said to you right now, what did your mom do to you when you were a little girl? I bet you could tell me. You don't have no physical building to show that thing. What did your dad do to you? Remember that thing that your uncle did to you? You remember that one time with that employee, that coworker at that office, that girl, what she did? I bet you remember that. You remember that, my goodness, that thing that your husband did to you? That thing that your wife did to you? Do you have an actual altar that you have built where you've remembered those things? No. It's in your heart. The altar is in your heart. You do not have a hard time remembering the bad things. Because the devil wants you to remember that. He's not going to disarm you of that. What he's going to disarm you with are the good things that God is doing in your life. That's why now you need to be intentional. Write them down. And make up your mind, I'm not getting disarmed in this season, in Jesus' name. I hope y'all hearing me. That's it. Because I want you to take this serious. I just told you, you're being disarmed. Take it seriously. Next year, when I say, you got a testimony, I want fresh. I want fresh. I don't want any repeat testimony. Come back with another one. Because you're going to be writing them down. And you're going to know, you're going to be like, yes, look at what God is doing. And then you won't feel so downtrodden. Like, oh, suffering, God is not. No, sweetheart. No. No. Okay? Are we ready to share some testimony and praise God? Yes, we are. Okay. Let me get my mug off of this. There we go. Now, yes. Bonnie, are you going to be the first one up to share a lovely testimony with us?
Yeah, yes. When you were telling all of us, I had this download of so many things that happened to me over all these years, which didn't come to mind and suddenly they came to mind. Boom. So thank you, Nicole. I needed this. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the Lord told me that I needed to address this with you all before we shared anything today, because you have to understand the importance of this. No, you need this. Do you see what I'm saying? We already do this in Christianity. We're just shifting it into a time frame of a window and sharing our testimonies. We already do this. We're just shifting it. And then the Lord is showing me, you understand why I'm telling people to set up altars? It don't have to be a physical altar, because you already have altar over all the horrible things that has happened to you. Then you need to shut that down. Those you need to kick the legs from under them in your heart. Come with the good news. You have it. Praise the Lord. Let me stop. Go, Bonnie.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Way back in 1997, I wouldn't have thought of sharing it, but it just came home. And I'd like to give glory to God, because He saved me even while it's not giving me what I wanted. It's always that we ask for things, we desire things, we want things to go as per our curriculum or this 1, 2, 3, 4. And when He gives it to us how we desire it, we say, praise God, hallelujah. But this was a time when I didn't get what I wanted, and I sulked and I sulked and I sulked. And He, as a good father always does, showed me why. I went for this interview at Wockhardt. Wockhardt is one of the top pharmaceutical companies in India, for the post of a receptionist. And my interview went really well. They felt I really fitted the role, and they were waiting for someone like me. And they said, they discussed even when I would join and everything. And I was so happy. I said, okay, this is mine. And 1997, back then, you know, being a 21-year-old, fresh out of college, full of confidence, you know, you're in that high. And yes, I've got it. I've done it. And I waited for a week. I waited 2 weeks. I waited 3 weeks. Nothing. I called them, and there was a lady who picked up the phone, the receptionist. And I was heartbroken, and I sulked, and I sulked. And I was very disappointed. And one day, I mean, not that I mean bad for those people there, but in September, the entire building came down. Bush! and that office was destroyed. The Wokhat office was destroyed. 15 people lost their lives. And the day I saw that on the paper, I was in tears. Not because of anything else, but because I had doubted him. Because I was like, why did you not give it to me? Why? And I repented and I blessed him for not giving me what I wanted. So praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes, many times, it's God's protection when he says a no. And we as kids, growing kids, we don't understand that. And then in his love, he makes us understand that. But I protected you when I said no. And this was it. So I just thank him now for bringing it to mind and I praise him. Our God is good, very good. And he deserves all the glory, all the glory, without compromise. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, amen. Carmina, do you have one for us today, Carmina?
Amen. Yes, I have. I was thinking of giving an old one, but I'll share the recent one, what happened. Some years back, when I was all alone, I was very scared to sleep alone in the house because all my family had gone to Goa and it was the first time I was sleeping alone. So I prayed a lot and I went to sleep. And when I got up in the morning, I was very happy. I told the Lord, wow, I slept alone. At that very moment, the Lord showed me on the door a mighty angel protecting and guarding me. So, from that day onwards, whenever I ask the Lord, like, you know, for any small favors, like whenever I go home in the train, it's a journey of 1 hour and sometimes I sleep. And then I tell him, please wake me up. So I always get a tap on my back saying, it's time up, you get up now. And actually my back is leaning on the seat and no one can touch my back, but still I will get a tap on my back. It's time up. And when I get up with a smile and I say, thank you, Lord. And it's very often, very often. But the other day, when I was listening to, your word, I was listening, and I went to sleep. And then suddenly I got a tap when you were speaking. And it says, get up, listen. And so I got up and I was listening and I thanked the Lord. And this is the way the angel of the Lord, you know, wakes me up and it excites me a lot. So this is my testimony, the recent one.
Amen.
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 Okay, now I'm going to have Alma share a testimony. Alma?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I hope you're well. So my testimony is from this week. I had a transaction regarding work. And I needed more time for the transaction to basically be... I needed more time because I needed to do more work on the transaction. And so the other party told me that they were ready to pay and they gave me a check. And so what I did is I divorced whatever it was on the other side that I needed to divorce. And then secondly, we had just gotten, some teaching, on the MOP's website about, you know, God creating time, being out of time, we can freeze time. So once I did the divorce, I asked for God to freeze the time, to give me more time. And then 2 days later, the check of the other party bounced. Meaning I still have more time to do what I need to do in this transaction. So that's something that's just come to mind. It was something that I saw time was running out. I needed more time. And so I just asked God to freeze the time. This is the first time I was shocked that the check bounced, because I actually suggested to God, whatever you need to do, even if it means the check bouncing. And it was more of a, you know, not a flippant suggestion, but just, I suggested that. And I wrote it down. And then 2 days later, the check bounced. So that's my testimony. And I pray God gives me more time to finalize on my end. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I love it. I love it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You know what else you said the other day, Alma, and that really stuck out to me, was when you were sick and you divorced that illness.
Yes.
And I have never heard anyone say that before. I mean, I never thought about it. Until you said it, and I was like, yes, it's so good, because sometimes your illnesses are actually a demonic attack. It's not even real. It's not a real thing, right? And so it makes sense that by divorcing it, your illness, that demonic attack gets shut down immediately, and we can call health and wholeness into our bodies. Okay, can I ask you to pray for us now, just divorcing sickness and disease and illness?
Sure. Can I just add something quickly? Before I learned about divorcing, I knew about breaking covenants, just the divorcing, the way you taught us. Thank you for that. Around 2020, I started to get migraines. I never get headaches. I never get anything. So what happened is I just said, no. This is not my portion. I rejected it. I refuse to take any kind of medication. I'm not someone who has headaches and migraines. And I realized that was the symptom. And I rejected it over a period of months. And I've had it for years. It came in 2020. It disappeared, you know, after months. I think 2020, 2021. Not had, just not real. Like, if it was really something, it's just stuck. But it was something I rejected through print, specifically using the word rejection. Testimony from a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes. Yes. So you want me to divorce?
Yes, please. Or break covenant, whichever word feels more real to you, with sickness and disease for everybody listening. Hallelujah. Or any other thing you feel led to divorce.
The enemy
doesn't want you to do it, so you're breaking up now. Do me a favor, hang up and call back in. Lord, we ask you to fix the connection, Jesus, so we can clearly hear what she's going to pray, even though it's going to get prayed anyway. Hallelujah. Alma, can you hear me? Breaking up. Okay. Karen, do you have one you can share with us?
I've got a few in the making.
Yes.
I do. And I will share it. Sometimes I think it's maybe not the right time yet. But I'll do a quick one. My daughter, a week ago, so she's living with me. She got a job, and everything was just a miracle, how we prayed for the job, how she got it. And she got the confidence from nowhere. She started the job, and it was all just prayer. And 2 months later, they headhunted her for another job. And then it was pray again. But she, from being this very insecure little girl, she is so confident in her own skin, and she's selling BMW cars. So she did quite well last month, so she gave me a bit extra towards the expenses. So I said, hang on, and this is what you told me, Nicole. I said, hang on, I want to pray for you. So I prayed and I said, Lord, whatever she's given to me, I ask you to multiply that to her in Jesus' name. And I said, thank you. And I said, please do me a favor. When something happens and you get something more, just tell me so I know. The next morning, she calls me back. She sold a very expensive car. So God is great. That was last week.
Amen.
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 Okay, let's see. Maggie, do you have one you want to share with us? Maggie.
Yes, sure. This is an older testimony. I haven't shared it before, but it's a dramatic one. And it's something that I thank God for many, many times over, because I'll just read a quick verse from Psalm 91 to illustrate what God is did. It says, "You've made the Lord God your refuge and dwelling place, so no evil shall befall you. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." That literally came true for me. Many years ago, I was working in Thailand, and I had gone across town to a Sunday morning church service. It was Christmas Day. And the group of us that lived there and worked there had agreed we would meet for a noon meal. So I was returning home. I was driving a motorcycle. And I just said a quick prayer as I was driving that I could arrive on time for our gathering. And just as I came near the place, I came around a blind curve in the road. And right in front of me, there was a tractor that was pulling a very heavy trailer and was going very slowly, and I wasn't going slowly. So at the same time, I also heard a truck horn behind me. And so to explain the situation, there was a the truck was already in the lane passing me, and on the other side of the road, there was no shoulder, but there was a 12-foot deep canal filled with water. And I knew there was no way I could stop in time, but I thought I would just slam on my brakes, because otherwise, there was no other alternative except bad ones. So I slammed on the brakes of the motorcycle, and the back end of the motorcycle starts swerving side from side to side, and I knew that it was going to lift up in the air. And just as it seemed like I was going to be crashing, I felt these holy angels surround me, and they literally lifted up me and the motorcycle up in the air, and they gently set us down just a couple of feet behind the trailer. And so our gracious Lord answered that prayer. I arrived on time for our Christmas celebration. And he's always been good to me, keeping me safe, because I'm not the best driver in the world, but he's saved me many, many times, and I thank and praise him forever. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So I see Alma is back. Shall we try again, Alma?
Yes, let's try again. It said an
There
unknown error occurred. I don't know what unknown error apart from the enemy. But I was saying, I think, let me do it a different way. I think everyone knows divorcing the thing directly, which is, I think, even way more effective, not to compare the two. So you take a hold of the new covenant, which is the covenant that Jesus Christ paid with his blood. And so you pray in Jesus' name, I take a hold of the new covenant that Jesus Christ paid with his blood, that Jesus Christ mediated, to break every evil covenant, contract, and agreement that I have ever made or that anyone else has ever made. I go longer into that, but anyone has ever made with, and then I name the sickness, I name the specific disease, or I name whatever issue it is that I'm facing. So I take a hold of that new covenant and then I break it. And especially when someone else has made it against me, and then I go ahead to further now divorce it again. I divorce it and then I loose what it is that I want. So maybe we could try it like that. So maybe I can just go ahead. This is, I don't
know.
Yes,
do it, do it, do it. I feel it. I feel the anointing of the Lord on this. Please do it.
Okay. So, let me just pray and I hope people can get it from there. So, in Jesus' name, we who have gathered here today to celebrate Sukkot, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we take a hold of the new covenant that Jesus Christ paid with his blood, that Jesus Christ mediated. And we take that new covenant to break, to nullify, and to sever every evil, unholy, demonic covenant that we have ever entered into or that has been entered into against us, with sicknesses and diseases, with tragedy, calamity, and disaster. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And then you'd go ahead to individually divorce everything. And now specifically what happens is that I do it for a specific thing. So I pause there. So if it's tinnitus, because that's what I had, I go ahead and I break the covenant I've made with tinnitus, whether by listening to loud music, whatever it is, I break it. I break that new covenant. And then also I break the covenant I made. And if someone, and usually it's a witch or a warlock, has made a covenant against me, I go ahead and I break,